Welcome to Hey Ghost Hey, the podcast about ghosts, ghost hunting, and other paranormal phenomena of the Pacific Northwest. I am your host, Charles Crooks, owner, tour guide, and psychic of Bellingham Ghost Tours. We are here because I like ghosts a lot. Now let's begin. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Hey Ghost Hey. I hope you had a very happy Thanksgiving holiday, and I can't believe that we are already in the last month of the year. But alas, here we go. So, before I get into some of my newer investigations of the Bellingham area and beyond, I wanted to revisit one historic area of Bellingham, and that is the historic neighborhood of Fairhaven, as I find it to be still one of the most consistently active areas in Bellingham as a whole. So I started off the podcast at Sycamore Square, which is a building within the Fairhaven District. But since I've started the tours, I have had new information come my way about that building and the spirits that reside in it, as well as a few other things for the area. So we're just going to jump right in into a very, very brief history of Fairhaven itself. And this is all consolidated from Wikipedia and historylink.org. The town of Fairhaven was officially plotted in 1883 by Daniel J. Harris, and more on him in just a little bit, though the area was first settled in 1853. The deep water frontage made Fairhaven an ideal location for industry, including sawmills, shingle mills, and a large salmon cannery. A major land boom occurred in the late 1880s and early 1890s, driven by speculation that Fairhaven would be the terminus for a transcontinental railroad. Fairhaven, along with other settlements like Seaholme and Whatcom, was consolidated with New Whatcom to form the city of Bellingham in December 1903. Fairhaven became known as South Bellingham after the consolidation. Following World War II, manufacturing shifted to downtown Bellingham, causing Fairhaven's population and business activity to decline. The district's revival began in the 1970s when buildings were renovated, leading to its current state as a hub with historic charm, unique shops, and restaurants. The Fairhaven Historic District was placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1977. And as mentioned previously, Daniel J. Jefferson Harris went on to become famously known as Dirty Dan Harris. He was an early settler of the Bellingham Bay area and founder of the town of Fairhaven. And following a stint as a whaler in the Pacific Ocean, Harris arrived in the Washington Territory in either 1853 or 1854. After years of trading and buying land surrounding his original homestead, he platted the property into the town of Fairhaven in 1883 and began selling plots for gold. By 1889, Harris sold off his remaining land to Nelson Bennett and C.X. Larrabee for $75,000 in U.S. monies. Bennett and Larrabee continued to develop Fairhaven until its incorporation with other Bellingham Bay towns into the city of Bellingham in 1903. Harris retired to Los Angeles, where he died in 1890. Residents of Bellingham today celebrate an annual festival in Harris's honor, where visitors can learn all about the early history of the city and Dirty Dan himself. And so it was primarily the shabby and dirty appearance that gave him the name of Dirty Dan. However, many do believe that the name originated from his dirty dealings as well. And while he accomplished much in his 35 years on the Bay, it wasn't really what he was remembered for. So most famously, he was remembered for being a dyed-in-the-wool drinker, a smooth smuggler, a hellacious jig dancer, and a vibrant storyteller. Harris was an authentic Northwestern original whose story still rings today. And so, in my experience with Dirty Dan, I first heard of him and his story, and initially I was told that he came to this area in a rowboat full of whiskey barrels and women, and so that was my first introduction to him. And later on, as I was doing research into his life for the Fairhaven tour, later on I mentioned earlier up above that he was not even buried here, but down in the LA area. And so I had never heard of any stories of Dirty Dan haunting Fairhaven, and I always kind of thought it odd that we really didn't have any sort of reputation for him, even though Fairhaven had a very ghostly reputation. And so the only story that I have heard in relation to him being a spirit in this area is this little experience. So I was getting a tour of the Knights of Pythias building in Fairhaven with the rest of the Fairhaven Association members, and I heard a woman talking about working with a medium who encountered the spirit of Dirty Dan. She said that she encountered him, helped him to move on, and pretty much that was that. And so immediately, it was hard not to feel skeptical when I first heard this story, because I have a very hard time taking a lot of psychics just at blind faith. I believe that this person believed they moved on a spirit that might have been Dirty Dan, but I find it very interesting that they had helped this supposed stuck spirit, even though we have no accounts or reports of the spirit existing in this area at all previously. And this is why I always say on the tours to take psychic accounts with a grain of salt, because there is so much about that claim that we cannot verify. And so I say this as a psychic myself, and I know that many other times experiences often come through as signs and symbols that need interpretation and are not always meant to be taken literally. And while I do think that makes for a nice story about Dirty Dan and possibly his existence here as a spirit, as far as I'm concerned, I have never experienced anything to confirm Dirty Dan's existence as a ghost in Fairhaven. I do very much believe that he possibly comes to visit us when we hold celebrations in his name, but even in death, I doubt Dirty Dan can turn down a good party. All right, we are moving on to our next part of the episode, and that is going to focus on Sycamore Square. So, revisiting the building from the very first episode of Hey Ghost Hey, I have learned some interesting things about this building from the building manager after talking to her, I would say, probably about a few months ago. So if you listen to the first episode about Sycamore Square, you'll remember hearing the story about the Green Lady, and what I do find interesting about her, and that even though she is one of Sycamore Square's most famous ghosts, the building manager thinks that she is no longer in the building, and that she is long gone. She primarily believes this because during COVID, she continued to work in the building, and she was the only person that worked in the building every day during that time. And so with all the time that she spent alone in the building, she never once encountered the Green Lady, and still to this day has yet to encounter her as well. So as far as she is concerned, the Green Lady is long gone and has left the building. And so who she does believe is now hanging around in her place are two possible entities that we know by name. The first one is a gentleman by the name of Roland, who used to be an old pharmacist in the building. And so it is said that Roland is identified by his very strong-smelling, heavy Old Spice-style cologne. And so there's been a few times where she has tried to show a space, the building manager has tried to show a space to a new tenant, and she'll walk in there, and it has smelled extremely strong of this cologne. And so oftentimes she'll have to tell Roland, like, hey, get out of this space. I'm about to show it. I need you to clear out. And sure enough, that smell will just kind of move on out of there. But then we also have reports of a little boy ghost by the name of Thomas or Tommy, who loves to hang around Dorothy, who owns Allegro Strings, the violin store in the building. And so Dorothy is no stranger to ghosts. This is actually her second haunted location that she has worked in, the first being near the Hotel Leo in that little strip mall of businesses that's right next to it. And ever since being in Sycamore, this is actually her second location, I do believe, being in Sycamore. Her first location was just up the stairs from where she is now. But especially in the second location, she claims that there is a ghost or spirit of a little boy named Thomas or Tommy who loves to play tricks on people, including her. And so she has said that she has left chocolates out and they have gone missing. And she's even gone up to the office manager to be like, hey, I want to figure out who's taken my chocolates. And they have reviewed the security footage together and have never been able to find anyone. So it actually does sound like there is something to Tommy and his little pranks. But other than that, I have not heard of any new identifiable spirits other than those two. So if you find yourself in Sycamore Square, I think it's worthwhile to call out to them and see if they might respond to you. Maybe ask for a chocolate from Tommy and see if he delivers in return. Next up, I have a little anecdote from one of my tour goers that happened recently, actually. So just a few weeks ago, towards the end of November, I did a private tour for a family group of, I think it was about maybe 10 to 12 people. And I had talked to them for a little bit before I had to go move on to another tour. So they were still hanging around in the building as I had already moved on at that point. And from what I understand, they were getting ready to go. And one of the group members in one of their ears heard a voice say, "It's time to go." Now, initially, they felt creeped out by this and they asked their partner if they had heard that same voice. They did not. And so they shared it with them, feeling a little bit uneasy. But after that, they decided to make some boundaries that we had talked about in the tour, just in case, as they didn't want anything following them home. I do also think it's important to note that they said, especially after thinking about it, that the voice did not sound malicious or that it was trying to force them along, but more so, it was just kind of almost in a helpful way, just kind of saying, it's time to go. So the Sycamore often provides activity in all sorts of different ways, from visual phenomena to auditory phenomena. So I still think it is one of the more active buildings within Fairhaven, even though I have not recently caught anything there myself. But you never know when things are going to pop up, and I feel like that's just part of the building's charm. You cannot predict, or if you try to call out these things, it does not mean that they will always show for you. It really does seem to happen in its own time and whenever they want to. And last I have on the Sycamore is I went to do a little investigation by myself a few nights ago just to see if I could randomly find anything that was going on or to see if anyone would talk to me. And while I did come away with no evidence yet again, unfortunately, I did have a personal experience that was interesting. So I was sitting in the chairs on what I call floor 1.5. That's the little platform landing right outside of Allegro Strings, right before you go up to the second floor and right below the creepy corner. And I was just kind of observing, seeing what I could find, what I could feel. And I heard a few separate times a few very loud bangs right above me. Now, keep in mind the building was opened, and so I expected to hear noises all around me. But what was interesting about these was that it sounded directly above me. And so I went up after hearing them because I knew the stores above me were closed at the time and that there really should not have been anyone up there. So again, I had all sorts of noises coming around the sides of me. I was expecting that. But when I went up to even check myself, I sure enough confirmed that there was no one up there. So it was very interesting. I'm not going to call it paranormal 100% just because there was so much activity going on in the building as it was open. But definitely interesting from what I heard to what I tried to debunk or what I tried to find. And I could not find any sort of explanation as to where those loud noises came from that were directly above my head. So definitely interesting. And then I also took out the Ovilus in its geoscope feature, which I talked about in the previous episode and kind of how that all works. And I would say again, I had some interesting hits using that device. Because I like it because it's so noticeable from if you pick up the device, if you move it, it shows a very, very clear response to that compared to when it spits out words. You really have no sort of indication of where those words are coming from. Whereas if you move this device in this mode, then you can very, very clearly see your effect and that you have on it. Even if you knock on the table, you can still see those vibrations reflected in the device. So as I was sitting there, I got quite a few hits and spikes that were what I would say above normal. That seemed like something was either vibrating the device or vibrating the table, but I could not pinpoint any source to creating those spikes. So in some ways, it did seem like maybe something was communicating with me a little bit. But I'm really curious to take that outside and see what I can start finding, especially in a space that does not have buildings, does not have vibrations constantly around it from people walking around. So it will be interesting, and you'll definitely hear about that on some of my upcoming investigations that I mentioned earlier. And moving right along to our next segment, have you ever heard of the ghost train of Fairhaven? Well, I had not until probably within the last year. I had had a few people mention this possible little legend come my way, and so I've tried to do some digging, but I cannot find much about it. But here is what I found so far. And while there's not a lot of documentation about this story, this little recount that I've found from Hub Pages is the best that I've found so far. There is even a story about a ghost train along the right-of-way just outside of Fairhaven. The story goes that there was a southbound freight leaving Fairhaven headed towards Cedra Woolley. It had been a stormy night, and there was a bridge that was in danger of being taken out by floodwaters of the river below. The foreman told the engineer that the bridge was safe and he was to cross it. The engineer was hesitant to do so, and the foreman took control of the train slowly, made its way across, halfway across the bridge, and it gave way, killing everyone aboard the locomotive. Ever since that fateful night, it has been said that you could hear the wail of a whistle of that fateful train on stormy nights. And then also, the second best that I could find was this little account on Reddit from a thread that talked about local legends. And it mentioned still being able to hear or imagining a phantom train whistle or refer to it as a ghost train that you might catch sight or sound of near Fairhaven or the old rail beds. And one commentator said, each year on the night of December 21st, the mournful whistle of a doomed southbound freight train howls through Fairhaven. And so, as mysterious as this story is, I have not been able to find any credible newspaper reports, death notices, or historical records from this time period documenting a catastrophic bridge collapse south of Fairhaven that involved a freight train accident that killed the entire crew. And so also, I have found that the Interstate Commerce Commission database, which logs many major rail fatalities from 1911 onward, does not list an accident matching the legend near Fairhaven either. So overall, it definitely seems that this story is more folklore than actual fact. And even while looking into this, I found a random YouTube video that mentions the ghost train of Fairhaven. But in the description, it says, after looking into historical records, there is no evidence of any train fires or passenger train accidents. And so I very much think that this is just kind of a lore that has been built up through time. But who knows? It is December now, so if you want to go try to find the ghost train or hear that lonely whistle yourself, let me know if you find anything, and I'll probably go out myself later this month. Just a quick note, I don't know where that date of December 21st comes from either, especially since we have no real historical fact to it. There was mention of an article that came out, I want to say it was from 1905, from I think it was the Fairhaven Gazette, that mentioned a train accident in November. I think it was November 21st, but again, that website is no longer active, so unfortunately we don't have access to that. But once again, it really just kind of seems like the historical details are not matching up to this legend, but I also believe that a lot of belief in something can create something to exist on an energetic level. So once again, if you do hear that train whistle, let me know. And as much as I love a good ghost story, like a classic train ghost story, I find that reality, you really don't know when they're going to show up or how they show up. And so here's just a few encounters that I have recently had in Fairhaven myself. So starting with a few weeks ago, it was just after I had given a private tour and the whole group wanted to go do a drink afterwards together. So we had gone to Southside and it was towards the end of our evening hang and we're all getting up and getting ready to say goodbye. So I went to the restroom and you have to walk through the entire space to get to the restroom that is in the back there. So as you look into the single unisex bathroom from the doorway, there is a toilet off to the right and a sink, and then a urinal straight ahead, and then to the left of the urinal was a panel door that was padlocked. And so as I was in the bathroom, the padlocked door started to shake as if someone was pushing on it or knocking on it. I noticed it because it was weird enough to get my attention, and it made me curious what was on the other side. So after I left the bathroom, I went around to look, and when you look on the other side of that wall, it's just the table from the row of booths there, and around the table itself, you have these very high booth walls around it. And so there's a buffering wall between the seat itself and the wall of the bathroom. So I'm not quite sure if it was someone just kind of maybe leaning up hard against their seat and that was maybe hitting the wall and that was jiggling the lock. But it seemed so specific when the door was being rattled that it did not seem like it would have just been caused by someone kind of pushing up against their seat. So whether, again, it was paranormal or not, I'm not 100% sure, but it was definitely interesting. But for my last story here, I am pretty much 100% sure that it was a genuine paranormal experience. So it was a literally dark and stormy night on a Fairhaven tour back in January. And to avoid some of the rain, we were kind of hopping around some of the more covered areas. And when we got to the village green, we were standing under the awnings that were closest to the colophon and village books. And so as we were standing there, the rain had pretty much let up. It wasn't raining that hard at the time. And I give my spiel to the whole group. And after I finish, we start to walk along through that little alleyway that goes right by jalapenos and a lot of flowers as we go back to Harris Avenue. And so as we're walking right up to that little alleyway, I felt a tugging on the right side of my jacket. Now, I was in mid-conversation with someone, so I didn't really think much of it. I noticed it, and I thought that that was weird, but I quickly dismissed it, and I thought that maybe it was my coat strings or some part of my coat that was possibly hitting the visual aids that I carry with me. And so I quickly dismissed it, moved on, and thought nothing of it. Until the very end of the tour, there was a gentleman that came up to me and he asked, what do you know about the Village Green? And so I said, well, other than the buildings that we talked about, I really don't know much about the green itself, but just the surrounding buildings that have activity. And so he said, as we were standing there under the cover, that he felt a tugging on his shirt the whole time that we were there. And then as we were talking about this, I, of course, forgot about my experience and was like, oh my God, well, let me tell you that I felt a tugging on my jacket as we were walking away. So we were both excited about the similarity of experiences that we had. And we then had a woman that was also on the tour with us, and she came up and said, are you guys talking about the Village Green? We both said yes, of course. And she said that as we were standing there, she felt a tapping on her head the entire time that we were there. And initially, she thought it was water drops, and so she kept feeling up on her hat, expecting to feel a wet spot, but did not feel anything. And so all three of us within that few moments of being under that awning of the Village Green, we all felt some sort of either tugging or tapping on ourselves. And so that is what I believe to be the only very clear encounter that we've ever had on any of the tours that I've given so far. And I've given over a good 100 of tours now, especially in Fairhaven for sure. And I've never had anything like that ever happen again. And unfortunately, none of us got really any sense of who that could have been. The only kind of sense that I got afterwards was that maybe it was a child for the lowness of tugging on our clothes and where most of us felt that. However, the woman felt the tapping on the top of her head. So I really don't know what we experienced and what was going on, but it was definitely weird and definitely unexplainable. But I also love that it was collective and it wasn't just me that had something, because again, if I had just gone off what I had said, I completely would have dismissed it and disregarded it and probably forgotten all about it. So it is, as much as I find that I can be skeptical and kind of hard in my ways too, it's a good reminder that there is that possibility of weird. There is that possibility to not dismiss so quickly sometimes, and that the weird things do happen. So before we wrap up, I would like to share some EVPs of Fairhaven that I have dug down deep in my little EVP vault for. And so while these may not be incredibly significant, I still enjoy them as they still have importance to me always. So here we go. All right. So for the first one that I have pulled out, I have really not shared publicly before, just because it is not much. But why I do like it and why I have held on to it is because of where it comes from. And so this is the only EVP that I captured during my time, during my investigation at the Whidbey Island Bank. And so if you listen to season one, or if you have been on the Fairhaven tour, then you will recognize that location as the location where I picked up the woman ghost that went home with me several times and got inside my dreams. So if you want that full story, you have to listen to the Halloween episode of the first season. And so I think that this is possibly the only recording that I have of her, but as you are going to hear, it is very hard to discern who it might be coming from. So I am just going to play it first. Here we go, and then I'll tell you what it is exactly that you are listening for.
I wonder if I can always walk back down and get them.
Oh, should we? Oh, see.
So as the woman is talking in the clip, you hear that heavy breath that goes, and that was actually no one in the room. So even though it is just a breath, I have no idea if that was the possible woman spirit that ended up following me home, or maybe that could have been someone completely different. But it is the only recording that I have from that location where I think it possibly could have been that woman spirit. So here it is. I'm just going to loop that breath two more times.
Oh, should we?
Alrighty, and lastly, this one is coming from Village Books, and the one investigation we got to do there for the Haunted Fairhaven book, and this one is a little bit more of substance, I would say, to it, so I will just play it first. Here we go. So in this one, it's just that faint whisper behind everyone that I think it says, no return. And so you can see that as an ominous message, or because we are in a retail store, you could actually see it as literally meaning no returns accepted. So depending how you want to see the message of this clip, I will leave that up to you. But here it is looped two more times so you can hear it again. Alrighty, everyone, and that is going to conclude today's episode. As always, I cannot thank you enough for being here and for listening, whether this is your first time or you have listened to everything so far. It is always appreciated. And of course, if you have any questions, you have any comments, do not hesitate to reach out. You can always find me at bellinghamghosttours@gmail.com or on Instagram or TikTok at bellinghamghosttours. So thank you so much. And as always, stay spooky, my friends.